He said 15 minutes. Well, I'm getting hot. Like, I'm looking for stuff just in case, like a fan or a piece of paper, my water.
Take it off. I'm gonna leave it on the charger, and like 4 minutes before you start, you can do it.
I think this will start at 10:45. You wanna?
You should be good to clip it on. I'm gonna go grab an extra mic.
He's going to get another mic. This one is, this one I don't think is charged all the way.
You want to take a picture with Frankie and support?
Yeah, we can do that.
But we got time.
Okay, because he's going to get a, let me just go and say, hey, let's take a picture. Hey, let's take a picture while they,
oh, okay.
His mic is not.
Okay. Come on. Look, she got you on duty.
Yeah, they got all this stuff that's happening for the people who not here, so okay. He's trying to make sure he's...
They got the mic up so they can hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the travel is crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You ready?
Yeah, they're trying to get the mic ready for the Zoom session.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I struggled with that yesterday. So I was like, that's where I went.
I know. He left, and I was like, oh, we got a few minutes.
Mr. Jones?
I don't know. Quincy? Oh, here he comes. I think his name's Quincy. And then, do you want to fix this part right here?
To join, you'll see the name enter the waiting room, so you can admit them whenever you're ready. And then hit start, and so you have one person in here.
Okay, so.
And then you're talking, so the audio is picking up on it.
Okay.
Let me mute for now. And so whenever you're ready, unmute, see the volume. Video, and then you have one person in. So as people come in, participants, anything else, and but yeah. So like, if you need to mute yourself, you can just mute real quick, and you can minimize this.
You can unmute it. Is it ready? All right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I am so glad to see you this morning. Thank you for coming to the session. Please, please, please be in prayer. I have just been talking, and then now my voice is like this. So I'm going to continue to try to project it so you can hear. This morning there was none, but with much prayer, this is what I have right now so that you can hear what's going to go on in this session. So thank you so much for being a part of the session this morning. My name is Gwen Sharp, and this session is Integrating AI into Classroom Planning. I'm so glad that you're here. You're going to get a lot of hands-on application, comprehension, quick, to deliver to your district, to your campus, and if it's a teacher, for you to be able to turn it around quickly in your classroom. So, and Quincy's not Quincy. Okay, all right, maybe we can do this. So we're gonna try to get all the technology working this morning. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. So again, hello, hello. My name is Gwen Sharp, and I have been in education for over 26 years. I've been married for 38 years. I am the Upper Elementary District Curriculum and Instruction Supervisor for Beaumont ISD. We have a team of us here. Yay for BM ISD. So I am so excited to be able to bring to you some of the things that we've already incorporated in our district. I'm passionate about teaching, especially reading. It hit me really, really hard when I was talking to a couple of parents in our district, and one of them said, "Do you realize how important your job is?" And I was like, "Yeah, yes, sir, I understand how important my job is." He said, "No, do you realize how important your job is?" And I said, "Okay, tell me more." He said, "Do you realize that you are educating the kids in the community that will then be a part of your life? As far as when you go to HEB, they're behind the cash register. When you go shopping, they are there to assist you. When you go to your doctor's office, when you go to your dentist's office, they are there to assist you. And you're playing an important part on making sure that they can read." And it hit me. And I said, "You're right. It's not just the little community that you're in when you go to work every day. It's bigger than you.
It's your neighborhood. It is your city. It is the state. So I am really, really passionate about reading, especially with a hands-on approach, because where I started and where I came from, I know everybody don't learn the same way. And so when I was in the classroom, I taught the way I learned, and that was visual and hands-on. So if I was able to put my hands on it and visually see it, then I was able to achieve at a different level than my other peers. I've been at many conferences, the National Literacy Conference, the Region 5 MTSS Conference, as well as presenting at the TCEA Conference, and the upcoming TCELA. So I'm very, very proud of those things that I've done and being able to share the wealth of knowledge so that other educators can be able to do and turn over kids so that they can be successful in their neighborhood and in their schools. All right, so here's some things. Oh my goodness. Here's some things that we're going to cover today. I want to talk about teachers leading and AI assisting. I want to reiterate that you are the professional. We are the professionals in the classroom. We are the professionals on our campus. We are the heroes. We are the heroes in this AI technology. The AI is the sidekick. Like Batman and like Superman and the Joker. Yes, we are the heroes. So we are the professionals in the room. So that means the information that we deliver in our campus, on our campus, in a classroom, to our staff comes directly from the knowledge that we have as the professionals. The AI is our sidekick, which will be able to assist us, whatever the name may be for your AI. Then the second thing is just balancing that human expertise with that AI support. You are the hero, AI is your sidekick. So how do we balance that? Then enriching the classroom planning. How can we get our teachers to enrich their planning by using the AI and experiencing it, which is what you're gonna do here, be able to experience some things that my sidekick, hello, helped me to do. So I actually use this so you can have that for today. And those of you who are watching online, at the bottom of that screen is a bitlet. If you would type in that bitlet in your computer where you are, you will be able to get all of the notes and the activities that are being shared here today. So even though you could not make it for whatever the reason is, you have access to the notes as well as the activities. So at the bottom of your screen, type in the bit.ly. The bit.ly will take you directly to the note catcher, and the note catcher has all of the activities that we're experiencing here. So you have the advantage of being at home and then experiencing it as we are doing live. Those of you who are here, if you have your computer, I don't know what she said. All right, this is kind of new for me, so we're gonna see what. Okay. Somebody's talking. Now I know what you felt like. Okay, I'll let him take care of that. I know what you felt like on yesterday. So those of you who are here, if you have that bit.ly, you can write that down. If you have your computer, go ahead and type that in. And those of you who don't have your computer, I printed it. So in the inside of your orange bags, you have a couple of handouts. And then at the end of it, you'll see all of the resources and the links that is actually associated to what you'll see today. So, a couple of things. I want you guys to just do a quick talk and turn. 3, 2, 1. This is a strategy that we all use. This is just to make sure that we are all connecting and communicating. So I want you to share 3 things that you know about AI. I want you to have 2 things that you want to learn today about AI classroom planning. And then I want you to discuss with your partner 1 positive outcome of using AI in the classroom for planning and how it can support teachers. So you have a shoulder partner, either to the right or to the left. I want you to share three, two, one things. Three things that you know about AI. Two things that you want to learn about AI and classroom planning. Doesn't necessarily have to be classroom if you are your admin. And admin planning, AI and providing information for your district with planning. And then one positive outcome of AI and how it can support the teacher to engage the student learning. Okay, so turn and talk to your shoulder partner. You got 2 minutes, three things, three, two, one. Yes. Email's effective, engaging, efficient. Yes. And I use it for all those things too. Yeah. Yes. That's how I share that with my, that's how I share it. And then there's multiples. Multiples, not just one way or one AI source. There's multiple AI sources. Yeah.
Different ones out there. We just have to know which ones are safe for those kiddos to use.
Can you share that? Can you share that?
I can.
Okay. Thank you.
You're like almost there. The Bitly link, that's what you're
looking
for. It's not on here.
Oh, okay. I'll go back.
Yeah, I
can. Okay, I'll go back.
Just so you know.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Can you share that out with me, the multiple ways of using AI? Will you be able to share multiple ways that you've used it? Okay, perfect, perfect. All right, let's come back in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you. Can you share with us that what you discussed with your shoulder partner?
We discussed using it like for engagement, like sending newsletters and things with parents to create like the perfect newsletter, enrichment with the students, and like lesson planning, and also to grade your essays. Grade your ECRs and SCRs.
Love it, love it. And can you also share what your shoulder partner discussed? Oh, great, great. What district? What district?
Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill. Welcome, Chapel Hill.
So what we were discussing is that there are so many different versions of AI that's out there. The kiddos are going to use those AI tools anyway, so we should make sure that they know how to use those tools correctly.
Great, great. Is there anyone else on this side that would like to share what you discussed with your shoulder partner? Anyone else on this side?
We discussed that it's easy to use it as a teacher tool, so kind of learning how it can be used, similar to what she was saying, how the students can get more involved and use it as their resource, not necessarily just ours. So that balance, maybe?
Perfect. Having the balance with the teacher and the AI? Great. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so you're going to go through all of those, and I'm not specifically talking about one AI. It's whatever you choose to use, what you're comfortable with, but just how to effectively have that sidekick help you, okay? All right. And I don't know what you need, just. Okay, so you are all right. So those of you who weren't really sure, AI is just stands for artificial intelligence, whatever it may be. It's just artificial intelligence. But just know that this technology enhances the computer. It, the more you feed it, the more it grows. It feeds off of what you put into it. And the AI system is the core principle that revolves around data. So whatever you put into it, the algorithm functions off of what you are asking it to do for you. So just a quick synopsis of that. Let's see how else I can. So teacher planning and AI, admin planning and AI, district and with AI. It creates a more efficient teacher, more efficient person. I heard someone saying in the back how easy it is now that when I get ready to type up an email, that I just place that in there, what I want to say, and then have it either revise or improve it for me. When we combine that with tech tools like AI, instead of me just having my generic email and I have met with a teacher and I am trying to get information across to her and I go back to my office and I'm like, I can't believe this is my fifth time having to explain. Look, after the fifth time of me going in your classroom, I need to make sure I can ask AI, can you have a more professional tone to the email that I just sent, that I just typed in, and instead of saying, I've been in your room five times, and every time I'm in there, I see the same thing. I want to see the kids talking and turning. I want to see the kids this. It's going to put all of my anger and my frustration and make it sound cute. And like, hey, Ms. Sharp, thank you so much, Ms. Sharp, for being in here. I really appreciate your feedback versus every time she come in here, she always got something to say and it's always negative. AI assists with that. So it makes that more, it makes it easy for both of us, for the person that I'm going in to observe as well as me, myself too. But remember, and you're going to see this throughout the screen, technology should not replace you. If it does, we're out of a job. Technology should not replace you. It should enhance what you already are doing. It enhances the knowledge that you have. Remember, it cannot handle classroom management. If you got bad kids, AI is not going to come in there and make your classroom calm. You still need that human element. If you got teachers who are not responding to being on time, getting to your duty, it's not going to handle those things. You have to be able to do that human element, building that climate and culture on your campus so that they want to be there. We still have that human element that AI cannot do for us. So I want to show you some statistics. And here's statistics right here I pulled from RAN from the fall of 2023. And out of the non-AI users, we have 66% of the population who are still not using AI. And out of that 66%, 44% of them have heard about it, like you guys that we're discussing today. They've heard about AI. 13% uses AI outside of their jobs. They're saying, oh, I'm going to try this when I get home. Then out of that 66%, 9 of them have never even heard AI. They're wondering what's happening right now. I know there's something with a computer, but I don't really know. I don't know. They haven't heard of it. So then we look right here in this 15% and the 18 and the 8 and the 11. In the 15%, we have AI triers. These people have tried AI. Well, I tried it. I tried Gemini. I got this on my phone. So they tried it. So they're kind of dabbling in it. And then we have 18% of them are AI users. And out of that 18%, 11% of them were recommended. Hey, why don't you try AI? You know, when you are on your teacher platform or you are on Facebook and somebody's saying, I'm trying to figure out how to do this and that, they say, put it in AI, put it in ChatGPT, put it in. That's the people right there. 11% are coming off of the recommendation of the ones who use it. And then 6% of them are actively seeking AI and they want to know more about it. with this particular statistic, I said, well, what does that look like in the classroom? Let's bring it a little closer to our districts. So teachers, instruction AI, oh my, let's see what's happening. Because we have some teachers who can use it, some teachers who are proficient with computers, and some teachers who are not. The ones who are, what are they actually doing with it? So with this one, 57.6% of them are generating educational content. For some reason, they decide, I want to be able to do this in the room because as the professional, I know what my kids need. But I can't find that, but I would like to have this. So they're generating some content in their room. Organizing a class or giving a lesson, they're organizing some things that they already have to be able to present to their class. All the way down to that 16.5, which is detection of fraud, which comes with secondary, where they're trying to prevent plagiarism when we're writing a paper, when we're grading those short constructive and extended constructive responses. So pros and cons. Some of you I heard talk about the pros and cons. So here are just a couple that I put in on the screen. The advantages. I think I heard pair partners in the back talking about how it saves us time. Absolutely. It saves time. So instead of me trying to come up with something, I'm going to put it into my system and then it generates it for me. Personalized learning, immediate feedback to students, especially for the teachers who are teaching constructive responses. You were able to go in and have it reply back to you. And then customize, create, and supplement or generate activities. And then handle administrative tasks. Handling administrative tasks is really, really important because our plates used to be like a regular plate, and now our plates become a platter, and then it's a whole buffet. So we got this buffet of things that we're having to do now that we really didn't have to do in the past. So now with a plethora of things we have to do, everybody needs it like yesterday. So it helps assist with those administrative tasks. Now, look at some of the challenges that I put on there for AI. Personal, private, and security issues. When we're placing things in there that have to do with students, remember, it grows off of you, depending upon which AI piece that you're actually using. And it reduces the human interaction. So please be aware that when you're using AI, it's just a computer. Don't get connected to it. It's not your friend. We don't want to have a relationship with it. Please remember that because it can make you disconnect from the world, even with kids using it as a gamify piece. And you know right now, we have students who are actually connected to their devices. This is a book that talks about Connor. And Connor is a teenager. I think he's in middle school. And Connor has a device that he likes to play on. And when Connor is playing on his device, he can't hear his mom, his dad, his teacher. He don't do his homework. He can't do anything. So one day Connor wakes up and his device is stuck to his hand. And now Connor can't do anything but play on his device. And then as the day progresses, Connor starts to miss things. He missed conversating with his friends. He missed all of his assignments. He missed doing his chores at home. He missed playing with his brothers and his sisters. And then Connor realized what's really, really important. So this is a book that actually teaches the difference between being connected to the AI piece and then human relationships. So you'll see several books I'll show you up here on today that help introduce our students or even adults to the issues that we are having today. So this is a great book to be able to bring that in, by Connor Crow, Who Can't Let Go, written by Howard Pearlstein. And that's one that could be a challenge for us. But as educators, if we educate those people who we are teaching or instructing, then hopefully we can guide them on successful usage. So you have this in your note catcher, and the note catcher, if you need to be able to type, the PDF will pop up. If you are online, then you would just click the link so that you can have this poster. And it is available to you to print or have with you. And then I just realized that the people that are here actually have my 80-20. So you don't have the note catcher in front of you, but if you pulled it up on your Bitly, you do have it technology-wise. So crafting a prompt is very, very important when you're actually using AI. So one strategy is you're the professional. You know what you want. So tell it what you want and be very, very poignant with it. Say, hey, look, I need X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3. So if you're actually giving it details, the more details you feed into your AI, the more information it'll give to you. The role, make sure you are assigning it a role on behalf of a district supervisor, on behalf of the principal, or take this from a principal standpoint. Take this from a third grade, second grade standpoint if you're asking it to provide something to you. The audience, what do you want the audience to be? Is it for your class? Is it for a kindergarten class? Is it for a first month pre-K, still developing class? That's how detailed you have to be. Or if it's for your campus, K through 5, elementary students, very, very detailed so that it can start to give you information that you want. And then the format, do you want it to be a lengthy style? Do you want it to be a song that you're putting in? Maybe you're trying to do the morning announcements and you say, this is for my campus, and I would like for the morning announcement to be read by a third grade student who is a moderate reader, and place it in a rap song by Jay-Z. And then they would come up, it would generate an announcement for the student by Jay-Z at third grade so they can read it for your morning announcement. The next one is the task and the tone. Like earlier when I mentioned, I came back from a teacher's room and I was like, oh, every time I go in there, it actually corrected the tone for me. I said, can you place this in a more professional tone? It took all of my verbiage, put it in a more professional tone. And so the second poster is how to use it responsibly. Make sure you evaluate whatever you are asking it to give to you. Because remember, you are the professional, AI is the sidekick. So it will not give you exactly what you need, because you're the only person who knows exactly what you need. So please make sure you evaluate whatever the output is from AI. Verify it. If you were asking for specific things, make sure you verify the information that comes back to you. Whatever AI piece you are using, especially if it's one that's connected to the web, it pulls everything from the web, the knowledge from the web, into your response. So please make sure you verify that. If you're using one that's directly, specifically for a district, it's still going to have information just within that component piece. That's gonna pull information from that component. There's an HQIM AI that's connected that only has its modules and lessons. It does not pull information from the web. So if you have that particular HQIM and you are placing information in there, I would like to have a 5-question quiz over inferencing. You will click module, you're gonna click whatever lesson you're on, that you're gonna click your TEKS, and then it provides you with 5 questions. So we do have HQIM resources that are actually making it specific for that resource, so you won't have to go out to the web for safety reasons. Edit, make sure that when you are going through it, edit, because AI is the sidekick and you are the professional, so edit it. Revise it if need be. If it's something in there you don't want, take it out. If it's something in there you need or you want to add to it, keep telling AI what you need. And the last thing is, remember, you should have everything being done responsibly and above board, because you are the professional, AI is the sidekick. So those posters are available to you. Any questions so far? So connecting all of this to planning. So what happens when I want to plan? Technology should amplify, not replace. Remember, you're the professional, AI is your sidekick. It can help you create discussion questions. What I have around the room here are some orange cards that we're going to get into in just a second. And what I have in front of you are actually more activities that I placed in just so that I can have for you so that you can see what it looks like during the planning time. Generating quick examples, revising writing content to be more engaging and movement friendly. So what would normally happen right here is I have created a quiz trade, and I would give everyone a card, and everyone would then read their card as a groupmate, and then you would discuss the AI information here. How can that be used? If I take it a little further, using it with the district, I would provide data on our assessments and then have it generate cards so that each class or each grade would quiz each other over information that I just pulled out for the district. How can that be used for a campus? I would go over the information during our faculty meeting, have it generate cards, and then have the teachers quiz each other over what you just discussed in the faculty meeting. And that's one way of having that. I'm really big on making sure that everybody kind of understands it in different ways. So the first thing was just to make sure that the information was out. And now that everyone has the information, now let's see if they understood it, if they can explain it or teach it to their peers. Okay, so remember again, the teacher is the AI is the sidekick. So that takes us to this one, which is the 80-20 rule. So the 80-20 rule, that's what you have in your orange bags. So to reiterate with that, with the 80-20 rule, the teacher's expertise is the heart of planning. That means it's 80%. You are the professional, the principal over the campus. 80% of what you're doing, if you're using AI, should be from you, the professional. District supervisor, 80% or more should be from you because you are the professional. The other 20% will come from your assistant, Siri, Gemini, whichever one you're using, it will be that 20% from there. So we already said that AI can boost time, it can help us enhance things, it can even differentiate for us. But hey, Ms. Sharp, you've been talking for a long time. Can you tell me what that's gonna look like? Yes, I can tell you what that's gonna look like. So with 80%, we want to have you plan, design, come up with meaningful things based upon your professional knowledge of what's happening on your campus, in your district, in your classroom. You know where you're going, you have TEKS, you have standards. You know where you need to go, what's the end result for your staff, for your team, for your classroom. So that means that you're gonna have that piece that you're gonna plug in. The 20% is where we're gonna personalize it. We're gonna make it fit the class. We're gonna make it fit bilinguals. We're gonna make it fit adults. And then we're gonna enhance that with the creativity part. Now I'm very creative because I do a lot of things before AI was here, including sewing and putting together outfits. But AI now saves the time with that. So teachers are primarily responsible for designing and then implementing based upon the end result of where your class needs to go, your district needs to go, your campus needs to go. With AI serving as the supplementary tool or AI serving as your sidekick. So what does this look like? So as the teacher, we have clear literacy goals set by state. Whatever state you are in, we have clear literacy goals, math goals, science, clear. You have standards, you have TEKS. So we already know what our end result is going to be. The design, engagement, evidence-based instruction, we also have directives from our state of what that should look like. And the same thing with assessments. We also have assessments that have been passed down from the previous years that we can utilize for our end result. And then the 20% from AI, which is where the teacher will then be able to go in and ask it to create, it can create some level passages. It can create passages that differentiate for my students. It can create passages in different languages. It can create different levels of passages. It can create different genres. It can do all of those things for you. It can also make the comprehension questions and level them for you according to the depth of knowledge. So if you need a DOK 1 or a DOK 3, you can go in there and plug in this specific genre, nonfiction, this specific grade for this specific level, generate comprehension questions. You can even tell it what type of questions you want. You can tell it you want it to be multiple choice. You can tell it you want it to be a short constructive response, an extended constructive response. At the end, ultimately, you are the one that has to go back in and check that. It also does graphic organizers and do all of those things for you, as well as enhance the differentiation, gives you the data insight, and then help you with task in the classroom. So a couple of the things that you see around here. And so in order for us to maximize that, you have that sheet in front of you. So the 80%, again, on the right side, I kind of took this as a stoplight approach. Your red, yellow, and green. So the green is where you are going to look at the AI-approved task, where you are generating practice questions, prompts. Yes, as an educator, as a person of interest using AI, green, those are the things that, hey, yes, this is appropriate. I want to be able to use that. So when I am using whatever my AI tool is, if it is going to be safe and supportive, where I can create scaffolds, where I can level support and provide feedback, go right ahead. If I'm looking at AI and these are the things that I need to say, wait a minute, let me slow down, yield, that's in yellow. That's where you're going to review and vet it, because that means we need to be cautious and see, I need to make sure it gives me the right standards, need to make sure it gives me the right teaks, I need to make sure it's the right grade. So I'm gonna slow down when I'm using that component to make sure that it's appropriate for me. Red, stop, hey, high risk here. I can't use it if it's gonna generate some grades for my kids. I can't use it if it's going to specifically focus on a student in the classroom, because now that means you've taken the human element out of it, especially if it's grading short constructive responses and you just went straight from AI and you just said, okay, here's your grade. And then if that grade is not comparable to what you have seen as the educator in the classroom, then you are not using your professional opinion or grading style to grade the student. You're letting AI do that for you. So you want to have that combination between the two for your grades, report cards, and then even evaluating IEPs, any of those important things, stop. Stop. That is FERPA. You need to make sure that that is personal information. You don't want to have any of that, especially coming from the web piece. And then on the other side, I put a planning toolkit in there. So you guys have that planning toolkit, where you are able to utilize that as you are planning. Whatever HQIM that you are using, you can go through the bullet list. Go through those questions, and then those questions will be able to help you identify if I'm on the right track. So 80%, you want to review your high quality instructional material based on the standards and your learning objective. So what is the core learning goal or the objective once you are planning? What is the goal or objective you have for your district? What's the goal or objective you have for your class? What's the goal or objective you have for your staff? What high quality instructional materials do you already have that address the goal? Do you have something already that you can pull from? That's additional information that you can plug into AI. And then what specific support or differentiation do you need? That is on that 80% side once you are planning. And then the rest of it comes from you, the professional. Then on that 20% is where the AI can assist. Then you can ask it to provide additional support in the planning, provide additional support for enrichment, or personalize it for your group. And the second one, it can also adapt and make instructions to enhance your core. So hopefully this is something that you can use with that. So these are different scenarios. So this was a scenario here from a lesson. 80% was generated by the teacher. The other 20% came from, that one came from ChatGPT. As she was generating her lesson, she asked it to give her three extension questions. Normally when I'm in the classroom, I'm going, hey, you need to let the kids talk. Well, I only had two questions. Okay, well, you need to come up with some more. I didn't say that. I said, well, let's see if we can find out how we can reach the kids, how we can reach the kids with more DOK knowledge. You know that you have your DOK one. Let's come up, generate two more questions. So she went in and she generated two more to reach an extension to her lesson so that she can deepen the comprehension from those T1 to T3 students. And then she said, well, Ms. Sharp, I also want to make sure they're doing something with their hands because I have, you know, I said, yeah, I know who that is. Let's do that. So we went in and generated some station cards. So when they went over to their stations, they had activities pertaining to the standards, pertaining to the student's data, differentiating according to each student. The second one is the same thing. This one was for a nonfiction text for a higher grade. Because nonfiction is something that we're going to see more often that's covered on our standards. So for this one, the teacher went in, did the same thing, but this time they used DFID or CurePod. I'm not here to say what you need to be using, but they are different AI resources out there. So this particular teacher utilized this one, and she wanted it to simplify the passages to reach her T3 students. So they were all reading the same passage, but it was differentiated for her lower students. So when they went over to their stations, they still had the same resource, but it was on their level. And then again, hands-on, so she had it provide three different levels when they went to their station, low, medium, and high. And then the last one was more along graphic organizers, because when I'm in the classroom, I'm like, hey, look, let's get the kids being more active during your lesson time versus at the end when they go over to a station. So during the lesson time, I said, let's see if we can get it to generate some things that they need to do during the lesson and then after, which is the exit ticket. So this particular teacher, again, used the TEKS and the standards, professionalism, taking everything that she knows that she needs to do in the room, and then asking AI to generate or enhance it, which was the extra 20%. All right, so this last one right here, before I stop talking, now it's gonna be you. This last one right here is just how to make it look professional. Okay, sometimes when your teacher's there, they quickly put something in there, and then you walk in the room and it's like, what's... So how to make it look professional. There are some things that you can utilize that would make it look professional, like, hey, I want to buy that. Where you got that from? Can you make a poster? Can you do? So this was just one piece that I found, and online is connected. So if you just tap on it, all the posters online, if you just tap on them, they are connected. It takes you straight to the site. So I wanted to make sure that you guys were involved too. So once you click on this, it takes you straight to how this can support the teacher once they get the product that they need for the class. So when they're going into the station, or when you're utilizing it for a faculty meeting, or when you want to present this to you guys, then you could plug this in here. So it turns those words into visuals, because then we're addressing another type of learner with the visuals learners, and then it gives it a clean, sharp look. So this one is also there, so you can see that through that bit.ly and how you can utilize that from lesson plans to worksheets to exit tickets to slide presentations, where it quickly automatically put it in there. Now, the slide presentations, I want to say this. I don't like the slide presentations because I know where I want to go. I know what I want to say, and I know what I want it to look like. That's only because I have my own creativity in what I want it to do. But there are some people who don't have that, and they're just saying, this is what I want to say, you make it look pretty. Well, for me, I don't really like that because it puts me in a box. It says, hey, this is what it's going to do if I put it together, and it shoots it out, and then I have to end up correcting it anyway. So for me, I don't really like that. So whatever works for you is how you can use that for you. All right, so I'm done. Now is your turn. I want you to turn and talk with your partner. And I want you to share with them at least one thing that you've learned so far, how you've used AI for for whatever capacity you are. And then we're going to go into a couple of activities and how this was actually put together. All right, so I'll give you 2 minutes to discuss with your partner what you've learned so far and how you have used it. Go. 35, 40, 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
That's like something's happening next to him on this side.
She's like, I feel eyes on me.
Okay, I'm going to go away.
Did you catch the Bitly? Oh, yeah. Can you show us the Bitly again?
Yes.
I know it must be a few
slides. I have it
down
on the first slide and I have it on the last slide.
Okay.
So when I get to the last slide, then I'll pull it back up so you can get to it. You're welcome.
So that's that I will say. And all of that, and it does what I need to do. I've done the same method raised by the sun. We've been working from that place throughout. So it makes things more efficient. It makes my part of my job more efficient.
Yeah.
I know what they need to do, and then they don't come to me for planning with crickets because we have a blueprint.
Yes. Can you share that? Because I just did the same thing too. I was like, here it is. Yeah. That's cool. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. How have you guys used it?
I've used it to make newsletters. I've used it, you know, to generate, you know, sentences when I need it, vocabulary.
Good. Was it 100% AI? Was it 100%? So it was 80, 20.
Right.
You already knew where you wanted to drive that car,
right,
and AI just helped you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've had it do lesson plans, and it just gives me ideas. I don't ever like it all, but it's like, oh,
yes.
I never thought of that.
Same for me.
You know?
Yeah.
Like if I want, you know, something hands-on, and it gives a lot of ideas, then I can pick and choose.
Good,
like
good. Yeah, can you share that?
Okay.
Because that's exactly what happens. Because when I started using it, I'm like, okay, I like what it's giving me. I already know what you're saying because of our pedagogy background, we know. But then I still have to go in, tweak it, revise it, add more things, make it personal. So yeah, you're exactly right. You're right. You agree with that?
Yes. We're from a publisher.
Ah.
So.
Oh, great. Yeah. Publisher. What publisher?
Vista Higher Learning.
Vista Higher Learning.
World languages.
Okay.
And multilingual learners.
Oh, great.
Reading intervention.
Okay.
And this is so great. So applicable.
Oh.
Absolutely love this rubric.
Good.
Yeah, the rubric's amazing.
I love it. Oh, great. I love that. You can use that if you need to for your, let me know and then because this was something that I just generated specifically for here because this is how I utilize it, yeah.
But I think it's boiled down in a really great way.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about using 80-20 rules.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Can you guys share about your ideas on the 80-20, on how you think that's very beneficial and helpful? Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay, so no, it's okay. Okay. Okay, let's come back in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Level up. Every time I do that, that's what I think about. Okay, so I have a couple of people. Would you share, please, what you were discussing?
So one of the ways that
break. So we're trying to figure out, okay, what is the best place to stop? So I presented them, so I prompted Gemini, starting with act one, scene four, because that's where they are, create a 90-minute lesson plan to get us through that text. So we have essentially now a 7-block lesson plan that we can build upon and make adjustments to as a base, so that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, because they're also using a lot of different resources to make this text come to life. So I asked them to use all of the resources, and so now they're like, oh, I really like this, and we can now build upon that in our planning meetings and not just say, okay, what if we use this, what if we use
this all in one place. So how can you relate that to the 80-20 plan?
So the 80 is, I know what the teeks are. They know where they want to go. They know kind of what they want it to look like. They want to decorate the hallway in Hamlet. So they know that they want to do that, and now we have this 20%, okay, these are the questions you can use. This is how you're going to get through, you know, read 2 scenes a day, and we'll get through by the end of Christmas break. So we just have that, you know, box, that blueprint to build on.
Good, good. Thank you. Can you share yours?
Mm-hmm. One way I use it for lesson planning sometimes when I'm feeling maybe stuck, and I have it generate a lesson plan, and I tell it I want some more hands-on activities and that kind of detail, and then I take what it generates and I look at it and I decide what I want to use from their lesson plan, their ideas, or sometimes I use it as a way to generate my own ideas. It sparks, you know, my own creativity when it gives me ideas. I rarely or almost never use their whole lesson plan, but it helps me come up with my own lesson plan and gives me new ideas when I just am in a place where I can't generate them on my own.
Good. So what was that 80 and what was that 20? What you as the professional,
doing,
you're the hero.
Right? What I want for the lesson, and I'm just using it to help me, you know, enhance what I want to do anyways, and I use my own ideas and what I know will work for my kids, and just pick and choose from what it tells me to what I know will work in my classroom.
Great, great. Yes, ma'am.
So I always like to synthesize, project, do something. AI, this is the game changer. So I will utilize it. I really, because I'm wasting time with my own ideas. You know what I mean? So thank you so much. I'm so interested in doing my own thing. I'll start using it because my kids always say, you have to do something. I want to see a project, something. Here it is. We utilize it with Writable a lot because Writable platform, it, of course, with the, you can read a story, it generates a prompt. Or maybe an image or something like that. Mm-hmm. Kids do it on Canva all the time. But I'm going to start doing this. Thank you so much. You're pushing me because I just do my thing.
love it.
Recreate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Harder, right?
Right. And then, so one thing I would say about the prompt. For our state, you know, we want everyone to have background knowledge. So if we just provide a prompt about Paris and say, hey, can you write about the Eiffel Tower? Write about what you think the Eiffel Tower, blah, blah, blah. You may be able to respond, you may be able to respond, and you may be able to respond because you guys have been to Paris. I have not been to Paris. I will not be able to write a response to Paris if I have not read about Paris. So make sure that they are reading about it before we give them just a prompt.
Can it generate a Paris story?
Yes, it can. So thank you for leading me to the next segment. On your tables is a bag. Inside that bag, I said, hey, I need for my kids, for these teachers to see how we can extend the learning. The clear plastic bag. You have a clear plastic bag with yellow and white cards. What is your name? Bridget said, but can it generate a story? What you have in those bags. I said, this is what I want. I want to make sure that the kids can extend figurative language past a poem. Because figurative language is everywhere. It's in Hamlet. It's everywhere. So I need for my kids to read a passage with the figurative language in there that we've already discussed from my teaks and my standards, put it in a story, have them collaborate, and then from there, make sure they get up and move, because I had some little people that, so, and some adults, and I said, this is what's gonna happen when you do that. So I had it to generate stories, and what you are going to do is you're gonna do move and match. Move and match, you'll see these on the sides, corners of each one of the tables are four of the figurative language terms that we've already discussed. Right, class, we've already discussed these. Yes, we've discussed them. Similes, metaphors, onomatopoeias, and alliteration. Take one story out of that bag, whether it's a yellow card or a white card, and I want you to read that story, locate the figurative language that's being used, and go to your corner for a discussion. So this is what I did. 80% of that was me. The 20% was AI, I need 8 cards because I'm gonna have a group of 8. 8 kids will be in a group, so I need 8 cards with 8, and I need them to be short stories because most of the resources, we have a long story. I need for it to be short. I need a short story with the figurative language already included, 8 of them for eight students in a group, and that's what it generated for me. It generated that for me. I had to go in and evaluate the stories because I wanted to make sure it was appropriate, one, for my T1 and T3, and then two, it had the right alliteration or figurative language being used in the story that I taught them. So once it generated and I proofread it, then I needed just for it to be on a plain card so that all of the kids can just see words, because the focus was the actual figurative language piece, not the pictures, because we know that's not SOR. I need for them to read it and determine which one it is. So now that you have your card, and the directions is also, for those of you who are online, you can click on that, it takes you straight to it. When you get to your spot, I also asked it to generate a stem for my bilingual students, or for the bilingual students. So once you are there and you are proving your answers by re-entering the text, you're going to use this sentence starter. I know this story matches alliteration because. Okay, so I'm going to let you read your card for 30 seconds. You're going to get up, and then I want you to go to your perspective corner that represents what figurative language is being used. Okay, they will share with you from the back table. And then they will share with you the extra cards. Can you pass it to that table right there?
Is it one per table?
One card per person. One card per person. One card per person. This is alliteration. That's onomatopoeia. You have simile and you have metaphor. Once you have read your card, you may stand up and go to your perspective corner. This is alliteration. This corner is onomatopoeia. This corner is simile, and that one is metaphor. If you have onomatopoeia, come to onomatopoeia. Once you are there, use your sentence starter. This one is alliteration. Once you are there, use your sentence starter to explain. Sentence starter, I know this story matches blank because. Choose the one, and you have to prove why you are standing there.
Oh, okay.
So you see how I differentiated?
Thank you.
I differentiated it. Oh, somebody else is coming.
Look, I have all of them. I want to go, you know, like the...
And then put them in the way. There you go. I know this story matches blank because. I know this story matches blank because. Onomatopoeia, that's sound words. Sound words. Beep, beep. Honk. Scream. Sound words. Thump, thump, thump. Simile. Comparing two things using like her ass. These are just hand gestures that I use in the room. Yeah, so. What time we got?
It's lunchtime.
It's lunchtime.
Oh. It's 1:45.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's come back in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love it, love it, love it. I already hear some of your wheels turning. You're saying how this is what it looks like for 80-20 and how the extension came from what I need for you guys to experience. So one, now my standards and teaks are being covered. Two, my kids are moving. Three, adults are talking. So even if my tier three student didn't understand, I'm explaining why I'm at that corner. So it's helping them when they're collaborating. And four, I hit my EBs with my sentence starter. So when I'm ready at the end of the week, then I can come and do my assessment. And then one more quickly. All right, you guys may return to your seats. If you want to share with me how you would be able to use this, please let me know. Is this something that you can use in your planning time? Yes, ma'am. No kidding. You can actually have those cards.
Thank you.
You can have that. Yeah. And then if you need to, ask for an extension for writing. So I would add a writing one where maybe they can create their story using all four of the ones that we have discussed in class. Yeah. Yeah, and the last one before we break for lunch, the last one is what's actually around the wall, and that one is, let's get to the right one. Inference mystery. I wanted to make sure that I, again, had the kids up and moving, so what I had it to do was, I said, hey, look, cell phones are really, really big. You guys can return to your seats. Cell phones are really big. Everybody got cell phones. So I asked it to create a story using cell phones, differentiate it for the group that I needed it to be for, which are you guys. So this one is actually created for adults. And I asked it to create the story because inferencing is one of our teaks that we need to continue to hit all the way through secondary. So I said, this is what I need for inferencing. And I would actually come dressed as a detective. That's just me. I have my hat, I have my coat on, and I'll be dressed as a detective. And I would have the MI5 music playing. Dun, 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 dun. James Bond, what do you see around the room, those orange papers? We are actually going to solve the case of who stole the cell phone. Who stole the cell phone? So what the kids would do, I asked it to generate cards for a crime scene for this grade. So when they get to the last card, I see your faces, you're like, what? When you get to the last card, you should then be able to identify who stole the cell phone. Card number one, and you can see these cards on your right. Card number one gives you a clue. You would write on the paper, I said, hey, I need the kids, I put, but that came from here, knowing where I wanted to go from the end. Card number one, as you're reading, the students will write, and adults, you guys will be writing it down, but we're gonna break for lunch. You would be writing down the clue that you found from card number one. Then you would go to card number two, read the scenario of what happened, and then you would write down clue number two, your answer, your response. So one, I'm covering my teaks for inferencing. Two, the students are re-entering the text for the clue. Three, they are making an inference so when they get to card number eight, they can solve the mystery. And AI helped with the cards. I told it what mystery I needed for it to solve. And since cell phones was huge, you can do anything. Your principal's lunch. Who stole the principal's car? He can't get home. He got to spend the night at school. Whatever you wanted to do. But remember, the creativity is coming from you. Let it do the rest of the work for you. So I printed it out, put it on cards, and that's what we have around the room. If we weren't pressed on time, you would actually go through and do that. But there are the directions there. Those of you who are online, all you need to do is click on it, and the directions is there for you. And the last thing is the fun and interesting books that are here. Nerdy Birdie is a way of introducing AI to students. This one was done by a second grade class in our district. We had police officers to come in and read to the students about safety and AI. This is one of the books that was read on safety and AI. The police officer read the books. The student had an activity. The activity is something that they can hang on the wall. Special thanks to our parent involvement from our district and support for having our police officers in there to reach our babies on the importance of AI. And this is exactly the end result of that. This particular book, Clickin' Chicken. Clickin' Chicken, you would love this if you need this to extend this to your class. Clickin' Chicken is about a chicken who finds he sneaks into his owner's office and finds the computer. He starts clicking around on the buttons, and as he's clicking on the buttons, he realized people are talking back. And he's like, whoa, these people are talking, I'm gonna talk to them. This is all about online safety. So this is a great book to introduce that one. Another one I wanna share with you is hashtag Goldilocks. Hashtag Goldilocks is so cute, I love it. Hashtag, we all know Goldilocks and the Three Bears. The Goldilocks come upon this house. The first chair she sees is too small. The second chair she sees is too big. The third one is just right, so she sits in it and it breaks. Goldilocks, hashtag Goldilocks, is about trying to get influencer fame. So when Goldilocks goes up to the house and she says, ooh, guys, I want to show y'all, look at this house. Ooh, it's really nice. Look, and there's a chair. Oh, I'm gonna sit in this chair, boom. And everybody online laughs. So she's like, ooh, these people are really going through it. I'm just summing it up for you. They really like when I sat in that chair and it broke. So she goes to the house and she says, oh, there's some food on the table. She said, well, I don't like this one. She's showing everybody, y'all look at the food on the table, but I'm gonna eat this one. Boop, she takes a picture. Oh, but this one's too hot. Well, the owner comes and he sees Goldilocks there and he calls the police. And make a long story short, Goldilocks is captured and she goes to, because all of the evidence is. So this is a great book to be able to explain to your kiddos, to your adults, how. And now I would have extended this a little further for this particular planning, but love, love, love this one. So this is one that you would have. Another one I want to show you is Old MacDonald had a phone. He had a phone, but when he was on the farm, he lost his phone. And so he went to order another phone. It just so happened he ordered 100. And everybody on the farm got a phone. The chickens got phones, the cows got a phone, the goats got a phone, everybody got a phone. So guess what? No work was done. The chickens didn't lay eggs, because what were they doing? The goats didn't produce milk or cheese, what were they doing? The cows didn't have milk for us, what were they doing? This is great, a great book to show the importance of knowing the difference between when I need to put it down and when I need to work. So I don't want to keep you any longer. If you want to see any of these, they're up here. Thank you so much for being a part. I do. Thank you. I do have a survey. Here's the survey and the bit.ly. So those of you who missed the bit.ly, it is right up there at the top. Get the bit.ly so you can get all the information. If you did not get the information, let me know, and then I'll make sure and send all of this to you. You could take this. Please turn this around wherever you are, whether you are on your campus, whether you're in your district. Let them know about the 80-20, how you are the heroes, and the AI is just there to assist you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
These books that are in the bag, they're asking for.
The books that are in the bag, they are for you. That's my gift to you for actually coming to the session.
When I click on the survey.
It's not working. Oh, type in the bit.ly. Maybe that's the bit.ly for the survey.
Okay.
I think that's the bit.ly for the survey. So I'll go to the first page for the bit.ly for the resources. Oh, thank you.
You know that classroom, don't you?
Thank you.
I was just telling somebody, this is my first time, so I didn't really know what to expect. And when I got back to the hotel, I actually clicked on all of the descriptions. I said, you know what, let me find something that I'm interested in. And I'm telling you, 2 out of 2.
And
I'm so happy.
I try to make it applicable to what we're actually going through. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's nice, but I won't be able to use that. No, we can use this.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm high school. And intensive reading. So like some of the ideas that you gave, because my thing is my program that we go to is very scripted, like extremely scripted. They read a small passage per day and answer 3 questions. But just, the idea of what you're saying, like how to, checking for understanding, like mm-hmm. I want a different way to check for understanding other than that same scripted thing that we do each and every day.
But still sticking to what you need to know.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Because my goal is to increase the comprehension, because they're supposed to pass their meet their reading graduation criteria.
Oh yeah.
So it's something. But you want to do it like a fun, interactive way. Because other than that, they are. And I didn't know that kids really felt that way. Like my friend, he was like, "I'm so embarrassed to be in here." And I was like, "Well, why?" So you want to be with me? He's like, "No, it's nothing to be true." But he was like, "I was embarrassed when somebody came in here to speak to you. I was embarrassed that they saw me in here, and I just didn't think of it that way." But then he said, "Because I'm not supposed to be in here. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to pass the test." And I was like, "Don't worry, we're gonna take it in December, and I'm confident that
you're gonna
be right." But oh, this is wonderful. I love it.
Good.
I'm gonna do a survey. I'm gonna do a survey.
The one that you
showed. Let me see. Okay, that one is for the survey, because that was for the online. I'm going to go back to the first page. Usually I have it at the bottom of the sheet, but I took it off this time because they already have the information. Yes, because they're used to it. But the thing is, and when I first started using it, I used it 80%, and I was going, wait a minute. I'm the professional. I went to school for this. This is what I have the knowledge in, and everything that it was giving me, I already knew. I was like, put them in small groups. I already know that. Put them in. So I was like, I need to tell it what I need for it to get to me.
I think the biggest highlight for me is like how to incorporate the HQIM to be in alignment with like whatever platform, AI platform
yes.
I'm using. That's yeah. the biggest gap I'm experiencing with my teachers.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't give a platform.
Right.
Because they're all different.
Exactly, and they all speak to you know, different things. Mm-hmm. You know?
And now the companies are realizing that. Actually, there was a company in here. The people you were saying.
They just sent it to me. They gave me some.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I don't do a company because they're all making it work for their platform.
Right, exactly.
I don't need that. I need, because if my district decide the usage wasn't high enough, we're not spending our money on that,
we're gonna do it.
Then exactly. I lost it. So I need for it to work for me. So let's go back to that. Let me get back to it.
Like you struggle. Is this their laptop? I can do it. I just, like, yeah, I don't know how to work it. Were you able to send yourself the, your, yeah, let me take a picture.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Either in person or like virtual Zoom for the incorporation of AI?